off now? You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
Donald Trump is desperate for huge amounts of cash. Let's consider where he might go to get it.
You are about to enter the arena of real news and factual commentary on The Voice of Reason here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Now, here is your host for today's program, Ed Golly.
And I'm joined in the Tantalk studio by Gary Gibbons, who may help us sort out some of the avenues that Donald Trump may have before him and decide to take to come up with the nearly $500 million judgment that he still has against him for committing business insurance and tax fraud against New York State. Well, he's been pushing something very much like Congress's proposed forced separation of TikTok from the Chinese Communist Party ever since he became president in 2017. At least he was, until a billionaire holding a 15% stake in TikTok, which is an estimated $21 billion, visited Mar-a-Lago a few days ago. Gary, the New York Times ran an article titled, Trump Gives Rambling Answer on Why He Backtracked on a TikTok Ban, that reveals how, after that meeting, Trump changed his mind. Here's the opening paragraph. Quote, former President Donald J. Trump offered a rambling and confusing explanation on Monday of why he had reversed himself on whether the United States should ban TikTok over concerns that its Chinese ownership poses a threat to national security, unquote. In other words, Trump just decided to sell out America, and he's demanding congressional Republicans bow to his wishes because this visitor to Mar-a-Lago, who is mind-bogglingly rich, was able to convince Trump that America's security should be just as irrelevant as our commitment to democracy in Ukraine and in Europe, and TikTok's profits are the only thing that matter to Trump right now. Well, will his next bail bondsman be affiliated with the Chinese government that was so generous in giving millions in trademarks to Trump's daughter? Will Trump sell out Taiwan for a pile of cash? He got the $91 million from an insurance company, the $91 million that he needed in the E.G. Carroll defamation case.
Yeah, but what we don't know is who the surety is for that bond.
Mm-hmm.
That's not public information. And that's really the most troubling thing about all of this to me, is that the fact that we don't know where he's getting the money. And it's clear that he doesn't have it himself, or isn't willing to sell any of his buildings or anything else, all of which are mortgaged, by the way, to try to raise the money himself. And what's really troubling is he couldn't pass a security clearance now. Garden variety, you know, top secret security clearance that, you know, anybody that's in the military would have to do, because one of the biggest concerns is if you owe a lot of money to somebody, you're a threat to national security, because you can be bribed very easily by somebody that you owe the money to. And so, you know, is the money coming from Saudi Arabia? Is it coming from China? Is it coming Russia? From one of these, you know, billionaire buddies of his? Who knows? But we need to know that. Because if he is going to have access to top secret documents again, he's already shown that he has no regard for the laws that apply to those, and he's already shared secrets with the guy from Australia, another billionaire friend of his, talking about nuclear secrets on submarines. The list goes on and on. He's a train wreck when it comes to keeping secrets.
Well, when Viktor Orban came to Mar-a-Lago, or went there, he could go there with a diplomatic pouch that is immune from any kind of inspection, either coming into the country or leaving. And
isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, and we're now
don't you love that? You know, And to go to Mar-a-Lago, where there are, you know, no secrets that have ever been kept safe, it's just an open door to him.
I remember getting information
from Putin, getting information from anybody.
It's hardly a secure building. I mean, we remember that when the Chinese spy was poking around in there, that woman that had all the paraphernalia of a spy, it was just wandering around in there. How'd she get in?
Yeah.
Who knows who got in that hadn't been detected?
Anybody that was willing to pay a membership fee could get in.
That's right, because that's all he cares about is he's just making the money off
that's right.
And off of his presidency. But Orban could have procured some documents that Trump had moved from Mar-a-Lago to, say, Bedminster, or who knows if he moved documents to his Trump Tower residence, both of which places never got raided by the FBI. So he could still have highly top-secret documents that, through Orban, could end up in the hands of Vladimir Putin, who has unlimited amounts of money.
Right.
He can easily pay $1 billion for top secrets.
What's the purchase price for those? You know?
It's Trump's bail.
Putin's the richest man in the world.
Plus, he's got the whole country's treasury, right?
Right.
The Russian nation's treasury.
Yeah. So, you know, it's chump change for him to give Trump this $1 billion for what he owes.
Now, yesterday, you're right. The question is, should these other locations be raided by the FBI?
Yes, Bedminster, if they're still there, you know, and maybe they ought to dig up Ivanka's crypt that's on the golf course, because, you know, he probably put some stuff in there.
Because now one of the witnesses has come forward and talked about moving documents away from Mar-a-Lago before the raid.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
he gave an interview that you know, got out in front of the judge in South Florida, releasing the names of who the witnesses are in the case. And he gave an interview to CNN that said, you know, told all, saying, yeah, I saw them at the same time that the Trump's lawyers were meeting with the DOJ lawyers to say, yes, we've given you everything. They were loading boxes onto Trump's plane and flying them to Bedminster.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think the reason why they never could search Bedminster is they didn't have an affidavit. They didn't have anybody that could testify, you know, that, yes, I've saw them load these onto a plane and take them. And now they do have this guy. So, you know, there could be another search warrant in his future. But it's who knows what he's done with them at this point.
Yeah.
You know, if he's smart, he will have dispersed those to other places where when they show up with a search warrant, there won't be anything there.
But wait a minute, aren't the search warrants issued by Joe Biden? And that's what the conservatives would have us believe, that this is all political persecution. Now, I was about to say yesterday, I think I heard Trump continuing to assert that the Presidential Records Act protects him and allows him to just walk off with any records he wants when he leaves the White House, and they can become his property, and therefore the government has no right to access those.
Right. Now, the stuff that the Presidential Records Act deals with are not national security secrets, not top secret documents that belong to the government. It's the kind of thing that shows up in a presidential library after a president. You know, they all build their own library. It's a museum of a lot of pictures that were taken while they were in the Oval Office, and all these other
gifts from foreign dignitaries.
Yeah,
right?
And you know, handwritten letters, things of, you know, all of that, you know, it's not the type of documents that he kept in the bathroom at Mar-a-Lago that, you know, people with top secret security clearances have to go to what they call a SCIF, which is a room where you can't have any kind of electronic surveillance, can't have your phone, you can't take notes of what's in the documents. You have to go in there and read them, and then you leave. You know, the people on the intelligence committees and the national security committees of Congress, they are all subject to these rules of going in and just reading the stuff and then leaving and not talking to anybody about them. You don't put them in your bathroom at your private club and act like it's okay and lie and say, oh, I can do this. You know, mm-hmm. I have the complete right to do anything. You know, well, that's his
MO. And, of course, that's part of why he lied to the archives, the National Archives, when they asked him for those documents to be returned. And he said first that either he didn't have them or that he had returned them.
And then he doubled down and said
he wasn't supposed to have them.
He doubled down and said, they're mine.
Yeah, exactly. That's how he ends up.
Yeah.
They're
mine. I have the right to keep them under this law. And most people that believe everything he says go, yeah, he has the right to keep them.
He kept changing the story. I mean, even when he was in office and somebody handed him a memo and he read it and tore it up and threw it in the trash can, and then the aides later pulled it out of the wastebasket and taped it back together, that's... document belongs to the government, right?
That's
a simple memo.
That's right.
That somebody said, you know, your golf tee time has been advanced to 10 o'clock as per your request. Boom. That becomes property of the government. Much less classified.
That one's not top secret, but, you know, but yes, they are government records.
And as for him declassifying these documents, even if he did declassify them, which I'm sure he didn't know what a lot of them even were, because there were so many of them, but even if he did declassify them, they still belong to the government, and they were classified for a reason. And of course, he never offers any reason for declassifying any of them. They weren't classified, therefore they weren't important, therefore I could walk off with them. No, you're still wrong. It still belongs to the government.
There's a process to declassify, and it's very complicated. It has to go through several levels of governmental approval before that's allowed. You know, you can't just think about it in your own head and say, you know what, I've declassified that one. And he's thrown out that lie. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just...
Let's talk about... Speaking of throwing things out, the five charges that have been dismissed against him in the Georgia case, that was the 2020 election interference case. The ruling of the is kind of, it's asserted that's a little bit of a blow to District Attorney Fannie Willis, who's already facing an effort to have her removed from the prosecution because of her romantic relationship with a
That's just a public lynching of a black prosecutor. Mm. That's all that is.
So
let's try to discredit her. Let's try to discredit the fact that she brought these charges. Yeah. And, you know, oh, she's having an affair with you know, the guy that she hired to be the prosecutor.
So as far as her remaining the prosecutor, first, how should the judge rule?
Oh, I, from what I've heard, they didn't establish any evidence that she had benefited, you know, mm-hmm. at least monetarily from that. And I don't think that she should be removed at all. I don't think the judge, you know, the finding needs to be that she had a conflict of interest, and she didn't.
Yeah, I don't see what that would be.
Yeah.
It needs to be defined, doesn't
no,
it?
No, again, it,
or
this
can
is,
a judge just say, this is what
just
I...
the first step in trying to discredit and try to influence a potential jury pool to say that this isn't, you know, you can't believe anything this woman says or anything that she does. You know, just look, again, it's if you will, the first step of a public lynching of this black prosecutor. The woman, black, mm-hmm. you know, that's enough. You know, it's the dog whistle.
So the judge dropped six of the 41 charges, the rest of them all remain, and allows the prosecutor to go back and refile them if they're structured better, right, in order to explain more specifically what the charges involve.
So what we have, you know, these are state charges. We have a state criminal justice system and a federal system. If this had been in the federal system, these would not have been dismissed because the feds use something called a bill of particulars to be able to supplement the indictment to say these are the additional facts that we believe show the crime. All right. In Georgia, you can't do that. You have to look at the indictment as it is. And the judge found on those six things, and they were the charges related to the attempt to make public officials in Georgia violate their oath of office. And he said, there's not enough facts there. You're welcome to take it back to the grand jury and get those facts and state those facts in the indictment, but because they're not there, I don't think it meets the standard of Georgia law to tell the defendants exactly what the evidence is that against them to support these facts.
Well, isn't one of those issues the phone call he made to Raffensperger?
Yeah.
Well, that speaks for it, just pardon the expression, speaks for itself, doesn't it?
Well, yeah.
He's clearly trying to shake the guy down. He threatens him with prosecution. He tells him to find votes that haven't been cast. He states that he won the state of Georgia. He has no business making that decision or even implying it.
Right. Well, it's what's still standing in that case are the RICO counts. Mm-hmm. The racketeer, influenced, corrupt organization, the mob, you know, attempt to overthrow the election not only in Georgia but in seven states. Those charges are still there, folks, and that's the meat of the coconut in this prosecution anyway. So, it's no longer 41 counts; it's now
35.
Yeah.
So, and as I understand it, tomorrow the judge, or by the end of the week, so it could even be today, will decide whether or not he's going to yank the district attorney off, Willis.
Right.
If she stays, do you think she'll try to restructure those six charges and bring them back in, or just go with the 35 they have?
I think the strength of the case is the RICO anyway. So I don't think she will, because it would require an appeal. Or going back
burn up
back
a lot of time is what you're getting at.
Yeah,
and so she still has a strong case with the RICO Act.
I think so.
Second question is, if the judge does toss her, do you think the case will proceed with new prosecutors?
Yes.
Really? Do you think they can get up to speed in
sure.
a timely manner?
Well, it's not set for trial.
You pick up the paper and you know what's going on.
It's not
right?
set for trial yet anyway.
Yeah, you're right. So, speaking of trial, Trump is scheduled to go to trial later this month in the New York case that accuses him of falsifying his company's internal records to hide the true nature of payments to a former lawyer who helped Trump bury negative stories during his 2016 presidential campaign. So he's got that to deal with before the end of the month. And remember, too, that with respect to this Georgia case, of the 19 people originally charged in the indictment, four have already pleaded guilty after reaching plea deals with the prosecutors, including Sidney Powell and Kenneth Cheeseborough. So I think they're building a strong case, and it'll be sustained.
The witnesses in these cases are all going to be people that worked in the administration or were involved in the plot, you know. So they all will be the witnesses that said, yeah, this is what we were trying to do.
Yeah, and will likely be several of them that will sing in order to stay out of the joint, right, and cut deals with prosecutors. Although, as I understand it, the farther you go down the chain, the less interest the prosecutor has in cutting a deal because they have the prominent
but they're also
witnesses
watching
that are
what
talk.
They're also watching what they say because they better tell the truth or else they'll be charged with perjury.
Well, former special counsel Robert Hur's congressional testimony Tuesday showed how precarious it can be to try to enforce the law without appearing partisan. His report last month delved into some of the critical questions of the 2024 election, including Biden's mental faculties and Trump's alleged crimes. But during his roughly four-hour appearance before the House Judiciary Committee, Hur himself seemed to have no interest in answering those questions beyond the narrow scope of his probe. You probably saw some of his testimony.
Yeah,
Republicans just didn't get what they wanted. He offered no new evidence against the president, despite GOP phishing attempts for dirt on Biden's alleged influence peddling.
Yeah, remember when the Mueller report was going to be released and Bill Barr came out and gave this sanitized,
redacted
statement that when the full report was released, they didn't even resemble each other closely at all. The same thing happened with this Hur report. You know, when he's going through and you actually read the report, there are several times in the report where he complimented Biden on having almost a photographic memory. And then, you know, he issues this summary that says, well, I decided, you know, that a jury might think that he was a bumbling old man with a forgetful memory. And, you know, those statements were, you know, improper and gratuitous to a fault because he wasn't even going to bring any charges, much less have a jury. So, you know, you can't say, you know, well, a jury wouldn't find, you know, him guilty. So, you know, tell us what the crime is first, and then, you know, that you're going to prosecute him. And then, you know, but the report doesn't have any of that in it.
2 points about it. First of all, Hur is a Republican who was appointed by Trump to be a United States attorney. And second of all, you know, going into that hearing, the Republicans were hoping for some bombshell revelations to revive their Biden impeachment effort, which appears to have stalled out after their star witness was arrested for allegedly lying about his claims. That was the guy having the information fed to him by the Russian Secret Service. I guess it would be the equivalent of the KGB.
Yeah, it's great to see the video clips of all the members of that congressional committee who come out and say, oh, wait till this witness comes out. He's going to be, you know, the bomb. It's going to be unbelievable. And then they find out that he's a liar, and they all back up and say, oh, no, you know, well, our investigation wasn't hinging on him. Of course not.
Well, transcripts of Hur's 2-day interview with Biden show several examples of the president struggling to remember a date or a name, but also did not confirm some Republicans' wilder claims about Biden's alleged cognitive decline. So up stepped Representative Jerry Nadler. He represents the 14th Congressional District of New York, who offered up some insight into the astonishing cognitive abilities of Donald Trump.
And then there is Donald Trump. What kind of man bungles not one, but dozens of opportunities to avoid criminal liability? What must that say about his mental state? Here, too, the record speaks for itself.
One of the great memories of all time.
James Webb. I don't remember the names.
Viktor Orban. Did anyone ever hear of him? He's the leader of Turkey.
By the way, they never report the crowd on January 6th. You know, Nikki Haley is in charge of security.
3 years later, how about that?
Did you actually have a one-on-one with Comey?
Not much. Not even that I remember.
We have languages coming into our country. We have nobody that even speaks those languages. They're truly foreign languages. Nobody speaks them. Saudi Arabia and Russia. Will we repeat your...
I have a really good memory. Your next wife was a woman by the name of Marla Maples?
That's right.
Do you recall what years you were married to Ms. Maples?
It's called, like, up here, and it's called memory, and it's called other things.
So you don't remember saying you have one of the best memories?
I don't remember that.
And Putin, you know, has so little respect for Obama that he's starting to throw around the nuclear war, Terry. You heard that, nuclear.
We have to win in November, or we're not going to have Pennsylvania. They'll change the name.
I talked to Putin a lot. For 20 years, they were fighting ISIS. I defeated ISIS in 4 weeks.
And we did with Obama. We won an election that everyone said couldn't be won.
I'm not cognitively. And you know what? When I am, you're going to know it. You're going to be the first people. I know my people. You'll say, all right, Trump, you did a good job. Get the hell out of here. That's it.
That is a man who is incapable of avoiding criminal liability, a man who is wholly unfit for office, and a man who, at the very least, ought to think twice before accusing others of cognitive decline.
Which is quite true. I mean, come on, everybody bungles things up, but they're really jumping ugly on Biden and yet ignoring the fact that Trump isn't exactly, the portrait of intellectual recall and fact-holding. And I think that in the end, both parties are inevitably going to salvage something from the hearing to use in the campaign. But nobody really got what they wanted out of the whole hearing.
Yeah, Viktor Orban, who he met with last week, you know, he missed the country that he's the leader of.
Yeah.
So how about that?
I mean, Trump still thinks he's running against Obama.
Yeah, he thinks he beat Obama.
That Nikki Haley was in charge. Yeah, he does. And, you know, I get it. They're just mental slips. But you can't ignore them when Trump makes them and then make a big deal out of it when Biden slips up, because they're both going to do it every once in a while. I think it just goes back to the fact in the case of Trump that's really what pushed him into the presidential contest in the first place, is he was so mad at Obama. You remember from the very beginning with the birther issue.
Yep.
And when it turned out that Obama, through the release of his birth certificate, proved that he was born in Hawaii, Trump didn't come out and say, well, I was wrong. He'll never admit he was wrong.
No, he said he was sending investigators out to check the records in Hawaii, and then, of course, never did. But you know.
But what the way he evaluated it when it was said and done is that I got him to prove that he was born in America. Well, you're the only guy that questioned it, right?
Again.
Essentially, yeah.
Again, picking on the first black president of the United States to try to discredit him.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Early in his remarks in Rome, Georgia last Saturday, at what was effectively his first campaign rally of the general election, Trump blasted Biden's State of the Union address as an angry, dark, hate-filled rant that was more divisive than unifying. And then he mocked Biden's lifelong stutter, which is ugly. He told thousands of his supporters gathered at the rally that everything Joe Biden turns to, manure. Here's what a Biden campaign spokesman said in response to Trump's insults. Quote, Thursday night, President Biden spoke about the kind of America he wants for our future, one based on the core values of honesty, decency, dignity, and respect for everyone, values that are unrecognizable to Donald Trump. Trump thinks mocking people and taking away their rights makes him look strong, but it just reveals how weak and insecure he is, unquote.
You know, prior to the State of the Union speech, they had doubled down on the meme, if you will, that Biden is a bumbling idiot. He's an old man. He can't
doddering old fool. He can't get out of his own way.
He doesn't know what his own name is, mm-hmm. anything else, you know. And then when he came out so forcefully in that speech, afterwards they went, oh, well, he was speaking too fast, and he was angry. And you never see presidents go off script in a State of the Union. He did it something like 18 times to engage with them and to say, oh, you don't like that bill? You know, mm-hmm. Why? Because somebody told you not to sign it, you know, and you changed your mind? And the senator from Oklahoma, they showed the camera was on his mouth, and he was mouthing, that's true. Everything that he mentioned that was in that border bill as being, wow. you know, something that conservatives wanted, and the only reason why they're not doing it is because they want to fight about it. Biden was on fire. That disposed of that argument, and so now, of course, they're always mean spirited, and he doesn't want to work with us, and blah blah blah. So
that's what he's done all his life as a senator,
to a fault, probably. Yeah, he has been, Mr. Compromise,
and that's what really matters. What does he get accomplished? Not does he stutter, not as his gait. Staggered or not smooth, but what does he accomplish for the country, and can he continue to do it? And he's done it through working with the full Congress to get things done in this country. We could talk about that, but it's time for us to take a quick break here. After which, well, I've heard some people say that Trump is the most honest man they've ever seen in politics, and others say if he lies, tell us when and where. Well, that's exactly what we'll do after we hear a few short and important messages, after which the Voice of Reason will return with more of the issues that conservatives never want you to hear about.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
You're listening to the Voice of Reason on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This year, the magic is calling you like never before. The Bay Area Renaissance Festival is celebrating its 45th anniversary, and you won't want to miss a moment. Experience the all-new Mermaid Cove, House of Dragons Pub, and enjoy classic favorites like live armored combat jousting or tasty turkey legs. Now is the perfect time to get your discounted tickets. Visit select Circle K locations or find your magic today at BayAreaRenFest.com. Huzzah!
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
Ed Golly with Gary Gibbons. I'm the Voice of Reason. And if you'd like to send us an email and comment on the program, you can reach us at WTANvoice@AOL.com. WTANvoice@AOL.com. Time for Poll Watch. And I'll look at some of the poll numbers that are affecting our world today. This is a recent national NBC News poll taken prior to the State of the Union address, and it reveals, number one, Biden's approval rating stood at 37% among registered voters, down from 40% in November. Next, he was behind Trump by 5 points in a hypothetical matchup, up from his 2-point deficit in November. And third, Biden's favorability rating with the electorate was 36% positive, 54% negative, which is a minus 18 net rating, while Trump's rating was 38% positive, that's 2% higher, 52% negative, which is a minus 14 net rating. I think the Supreme Court would probably stand around, what, minus 45? Anyway.
If that.
Yeah. Compare Biden's standing with past presidents at the same point in time. According to the 30-year-plus history of the NBC News poll, it's lower than what the poll showed for Slick Willie, W. Baby Bush, Barack Obama, and even Trump himself. So he's got some work to do. But do you think the speech will have moved the needle any, Gary?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
So yeah. We'll be looking for some polls maybe end of this week or early next week and see if the numbers are moving a little bit.
Well, the economy is in good shape. So, you know, it's a miraculous story of recovery from the pandemic that will be told. And you know, the only concern I have is that Saudi Arabia and others who want to see Trump in will start, you know, putting their thumb on the scale. Things like they've already cut back on the production of oil, so that the price of oil is going up. Mm-hmm. And the largest refinery of gasoline in the country is owned by Saudi Arabia. So they control how much oil can actually be refined into gasoline. And between now and the election, don't, you know, expect the price of gas to go up significantly because they want it to.
Sure, they can shut that refinery down for maintenance.
And they can control the world market in terms of what the price of a barrel of oil will be. And it wouldn't surprise me to see gas prices at $4 to $5 a gallon by the time that the election rolls around, just so that they can try to get their guy back in there.
That refinery process is 600,000 barrels of oil a day. And when you consider that a barrel of oil will generate about 25 gallons of gasoline, and then in addition to that, of course, it comes up with, when it's cracked, it generates the diesel fuel and the crude oils that power companies burn. That's a lot of gasoline to take out of the market overnight, and it can be enough to affect the prices.
Mark my words, it's going to happen.
Yeah. And now, why does Saudi Arabia have an interest in Trump being in power?
They love Trump. They why would you give $2 billion to Jared Kushner for no apparent reason, right?
Who, by the way, couldn't pass the security clearances either.
No. Nope. Right? No. Nope.
Trump made sure he had them. He just directed the agency to give him the full security clearance, even though he had too many obstacles in the way.
Yeah, but Trump sold them lots of weapons and, you know, all sorts of things that that they want him back. Putin wants him back. China,
Putin, I can see, would want him back because he would stand down our support for Ukraine and be passing all the military information to Putin on a daily basis so that Russia could go in and take over the country.
Well, remember Helsinki when he got up and said, you know, I believe Putin over our intelligence agencies?
That was just astonishing. I can't believe anybody who
shouldn't
claims
alone,
to be a patriot would vote for
Yeah. Well, as Biden said, you can't be a patriot and love your country only when you win. Right.
Speaking of patriots, you know, explain Andrew's brother Angelo, Vietnam veteran, who is asserted by Trump to be a sucker and a loser because he answered the call when he had to go to Vietnam. And I'm sure that experience has affected his whole life in ways that, you know, would have been... if he hadn't gone, his life would have probably been somewhat different, because those experiences are life-altering to go into those wars and be involved in that. And yet he supports Trump, who thinks the guy's a loser. What did Trump do when he to stay out of service. He told the lie that he had bone spurs. We all know he doesn't have bone spurs. He can't even tell you what heel it's supposed to be on, right? His father paid the doctor to give the reports because the military isn't going to make him come in and go through x-rays to see if he actually has the bone spurs. They just accept the report and say, okay, you're not eligible for the draft.
Hadn't affected his ability to play golf.
No, huh? It didn't have any effect. He said he would appoint a special prosecutor to investigate her. But what would he have charged her with? Remember, she went through the most exhaustive investigation probably in history with respect to a cabinet member by the United States Senate over the Benghazi issue, and then they expanded that to try to find something they could use to derail her presumed presidential campaign. They couldn't come up with anything. So what would he have charged her with? The email issue? Well, it wasn't illegal to use private servers for government emails back then. It had never been considered an issue. No such laws existed. And it was routinely done. Hell, Trump's daughter Ivanka was doing it after they were in office.
Yep.
She was doing the same damn thing. Oh, but don't worry, sweep that under the rug. He had nothing to prosecute her for. That's why he didn't bring charges. What about that border wall he was going to build and Mexico was going to pay for it?
Yeah, Mexico is going to pay for it. That's my favorite part of that.
Claimed he had the largest crowd for his inauguration in history. Mm-hmm. And then we could see photographic evidence that was a lie. That was the lie that gave birth to the term alternative facts, which is a polite word for lies, right? But the thing is, he claimed he would never sign a budget that wasn't balanced, and he never signed one that was. I've looked for statements by him claiming that he would eliminate the federal debt, but I can't find any. I don't know if he ever said that, but he did say he would eliminate the deficit. And that was his con. He was this genius businessman, put him in charge. He knows how to balance budgets. He knows how to figure everything. He couldn't even read the budget. My God, the table of contents is 2 pages long, right? It's actually one, but it's incredible. Pentagon budget is 100 pages. He's not going to sift through that. And he built up $8 trillion of additional debt. About $3 trillion is attributed to the pandemic, which was a good thing to have done to keep people from going to work and provide them with an income so they could survive while they stay away from work so it didn't get worse than it did. But still, you got another $5 trillion there.
The rest of it was his tax cuts.
Exactly. It's just massive tax cuts for the uber rich. And while the Republicans in charge increased federal spending, and they just don't talk about that. He said he would give us 5% GDP growth. Could do 10, but that would be too much. Never was, I think, more than 2 during his administration. His big health care plan, he was eternally telling us that he would have this health care plan.
Going to get rid of Obamacare.
In 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, we're going to announce our brilliant health care plan. It's going to provide better health care at lower costs and cover all pre-existing conditions. We're still waiting. No matter how many times he said it, it's never come out. I remember he said he would work so hard for us as president, he would never leave the White House. The first year, he was gone practically a third of the year playing golf. Played more golf than he played golf on average every 5 days as president. Every 5 days. And every time he did, it was loading up Air Force One and flying it down to Bedminster or one of his courses where the whole crew and the staff that travels with the president and the press, all of them had to stay in his hotels. The Secret Service people, he charged them the maximum amount that the government allows them to pay for rooms, food, booze, whatever, claimed he would donate his entire salary to charity as president. Well, when we finally saw his tax returns, which that's another lie, he said he would reveal his tax returns if he became the nominee. Okay, that's fair enough.
If he wasn't under audit, which he wasn't under audit.
Yeah. Which wouldn't matter anyway. You can
right.
still release
sure
your tax
you
returns if you're under audit. All of these lies. And finally, we got to see it because somebody leaked it illegally, and I think he went to the slammer for doing that.
Yeah.
But we found out that no, he didn't donate all of his salary to charity.
But one of my favorites is how he talked about how I'm going to have the best cabinet in the
smartest
that we've ever seen, because
yeah.
I know all the smart people, and I'm going to bring them in, and we're going to do things that we've never done before. And now there's an ad being released that has quotes from each one of those people that worked with him, either as his chief of staff or cabinet members who have left, and have said, this guy is a train wreck. He is completely... he doesn't read things. He doesn't have an attention span worthy of being a president, et cetera, et cetera. So look for that. It's yeah. coming out by one of the Trump groups that's formed now.
He isn't trying to speak truth to
what's going on.
Yeah, he isn't making that claim about a potential second term, is he? He's never said anything about I'm going to bring in brilliant people again.
No, I'm going to bring in sycophants.
Yeah. Hey, Rex Tillerson, who had been the CEO of ExxonMobil and understood international relations, was brought in as the Secretary of State and walked out of there talking to himself, claiming correctly Trump is an effing moron, because he realized the guy just can't process the information that he needs to make intelligent decisions about how to run this country, and he doesn't. Remember, he claimed he was worth $10 billion? We know now, if he's got so damn much money, why can't he raise the the bail money? Why? Forbes estimates his net worth at most $1.6 billion. I've seen some calculations as low as in the, like $900 million, below a billion.
He said that his apartment in Trump Tower was 30,000 square feet,
yeah.
and it's 10,000 square
lie.
Feet.
You remember the fake Time magazine covers he had made up hanging in his office? Yeah. And, of course, his preeminent and most prominent lie is that the election was stolen. He keeps insisting that over and over and over and over, yet can't offer a shred of evidence to demonstrate that.
Well, there are 21 of those lies that are mentioned in Jack Smith's indictment. The first and the biggest was that he actually won the election and that it was stolen when there is evidence that he knew as early as November that was not the case. That the fake pro-Trump electoral college electors in seven states were legitimate electors. He said that. He organized them and he knew they were phony. That the Justice Department had identified significant concerns that may have affected the outcome of the election. Bill Barr told him, we did an exhaustive investigation and there was no fraud. He called it BS. It goes on and on, but there are 21 of them. 21 of his lies are in the indictment that Jack Smith has brought against him.
Yeah, and Christopher Krebs was his own guy to monitor the election, who stated this was the cleanest election in the history of the country.
Yeah, he's already talking about how, there's going to be fraud again in the election.
Yeah.
But he's already setting it up, which he did the last time in 2020, 6 months before the election. He started talking about fraud to lay the groundwork for people to get upset when, he doesn't win, and you know,
because he saw the poll numbers that were showing that there's a strong probability he was going to lose re-election.
Right.
He claims now that we had the greatest economy in history under his administration. He claims that Biden is in a war on energy. We're now producing more energy in this country than ever in history, including under his administration. We're exporting oil.
Yep.
We're expanding green energy. Where's the war on energy? In fact, Biden went back on his own word and opened the Alaska oil fields to drilling.
Yep.
These are all just misconceptions that he, and outright lies that he says to create the illusion that everything's going to be hunky-dory if he gets back in. We'll have no inflation. We'll have a great economy. But we already have that. I mean, yeah, I know we still have a little bit of inflation going on, but it's mostly been tamed by the increase in the interest rates, and we never had the predicted recession. It never hit us. And that's because the Reserve knew how to balance the interest rates against the prospect of a recession. They kept us from doing that. He told reporters on Air Force One in 2018 that he didn't know about the $130,000 payment to porn star Stormy Daniels, and he didn't know where his then attorney Michael Cohen got the money for the payment. But it's an absolute certainty that he knew because he had personally reimbursed Cohen. That's called a lie. It's just unbelievable. And as for why he could donate some of his money to charity, have you heard about the president who received money from China and other foreign countries? Not Biden, his predecessor, Trump. Republicans have launched that impeachment inquiry based on their suspicion that Biden shared in the payments that his son Hunter got from Ukrainian and Chinese companies, even though they can't find any evidence. But the GOP couldn't care less about the proof Democrats released back in January that while president, Trump received at least 7.8 million balloons from China, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and 17 other countries. While in office, Trump created blatant conflicts of interest by taking millions from foreign governments seeking to influence him by spending lavishly at his hotels, golf courses, and condos. The Constitution's emolument clause prohibits public officials from taking such foreign payment, but Trump simply ignored it. This would be a huge scandal for any other office holder, but GOP patsies like House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer rationalize the corruption away by saying Trump has legitimate businesses, unlike Hunter Biden. Well, if Biden has a business, he sells artwork. What are you talking about? If Trump is reelected, the GOP has given him carte blanche to fill his pockets with more foreign money. Are you kidding me?
Oh, and then the GOP has now been taken over by his daughter-in-law, who's going to make sure that all the money goes to pay his legal fees. So, you know, think about that if you're writing a check to the GOP and hope that it's going to go for your down-ballot races. Not going to happen.
It isn't. His none of these issues will go away if he loses his race. They will if he wins, because all the federal cases will be dropped immediately. The state cases, I guess, can linger through his presidency, but would there be a statute of limitations?
No, it would be told while he was president. So that,
say that again. It would
be there would be a stay of the criminal cases against him at the state level while he's president. But it wouldn't. It would essentially stop the statute of limitations from continuing to run.
Which means he has an incentive to declare martial law and try to stay in power for life, doesn't he? So these some don't come back to haunt him.
Yeah, Liz Cheney said, "I believe that he would do that. He tried to do it once before."
Yeah, and I think now he would have the stooges in office with him that would back him up on that.
Clearly. He would have the Stooges in office with him. They have been interviewing, as I said before, sycophants who are Trump loyalists, and they, that's who will be in any of the positions of power in this government.
Our quote today is from former President Thomas Jefferson, who said, "The government you elect is the government you deserve." Don't forget, tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., Paul Molloy will host Freedom Works. Up next, we'll check in with CBS for the national news. Then stay tuned for Joy on Paper. Your host is Patsy with a Z. I hope you'll join us again next Thursday. We'll be back with another edition of The Voice of Reason. Now, along with Gary Gibbons, I'm Ed Golly, reminding you, if the statement seems a little too implausible to be true, don't believe it just because a conservative said it.
Make them prove it.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 106.1